Hey Tokers, this is Radical Russ. There's only one thing I love as much as fine Oregon Bud, and that's spicy food so hot it'll peel paint. Thanks to the generous sponsorship of HerbAgeDesigns.com, I'm putting both my true loves to the test to support the launch of Normal Show Live. It's the El Jefe Chicken Hot Wings Eating Contest, Friday, August 28th, here in Portland, and the contest benefits the American Red Cross, another favorite charity of mine. You can help. We're signing up pledges for the contest starting as low as 25 cents per wing, up to the 20 wings I'm pledging to eat. You can win, too. The top money entry and a randomly selected entry win HerbAge prizes and one of my Starfish Designs Gandalf-style pieces of glass art. Send in your entry to stash@normal.org with the subject Hot Wings Contest and tell me how much you'll pledge per wing, up to 20 wings. Also include your real name, age, and shipping address should you win the prize. Only entries from adults 18 and older will be accepted. Starfish Designs prizes will not be shipped to Idaho, Pennsylvania, or Indiana. It's Friday, August 7th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. We've made it through another week here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash. Today, I just signed the deal and did a little technical run-through on our new Normal Show Live, which is going on the air Labor Day weekend, Saturday, September 5th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It's going to be a live call-in talk radio show where you can make your voice heard for marijuana law reform. I'm really excited about this. The technology is amazing. We can have unlimited callers calling into our toll-free number. We can have up to six voices on the show at once, and you'll find our live show players embedded right here at the Daily Audio Stash website, as well as our Facebook, MySpace, and other pages, and our page at Blog Talk Radio. As you heard from the beginning of the show, we are taking donations, sponsorships, advertisers, whatever you want to call it, to get more money and more promotion for Normal Show Live going. And if you advertise on Normal Show Live, you can put the player on your website as well, so people can hear your ads in the context of the show. I'm really thrilled about this. This is going to be fantastic. Yeah, it's time to check our normal calendar of events, which you can find at norml.org/calendar. This weekend's going to be a lot of fun. Salt Lake City Normal is tabling at the Vans Warped Tour. The Dancing in the Streets Festival is still taking place in Denver. The Oregon Normal Cardholders Meeting that would normally be scheduled for the second Saturday has been canceled, so that's an important note for all you folks in the Portland area. And a big event coming up this weekend is the Michigan Medical Marijuana Expo in Detroit. This will be at the Burst Complex on 2520 22nd Street and spilling over into several of the adjacent properties. The expo runs from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturday and 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday. They're expecting over 5,000 visitors, and if you want more information, check out www.mmmexpo2009.com. It's a normal shout-out. Our shout-out today goes to my home state of Idaho that I am visiting this weekend. going to stop by and see my folks and my wife's folks and all the friends that I still have there in the Treasure Valley area. But I'm also going to make it a bit of a business trip. I'll be at the Flying Pie Pizza on Fairview Avenue from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. local time, looking to recruit activists to join a new Boise Normal. We got one formed in Salt Lake City. It's time to fill up the Jell-O belt with a few more normals and get one in Boise. Also, other Idahoans out there in the Twin Falls area, Pocatello, Idaho Falls, Northern Idaho, Central Idaho, I want to have a lot of normal chapters in the Gem State. So please help me out by sending your city and your email to stash@normal.org. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we begin with your hemp headlines and a look at an ABC News story called, Is Pot Addictive? We're going to tear that one apart. In more media news, I told you last week about CBS pulling the normal show live, and I expounded on that to show how the other mainstream media reject the message of marijuana legalization. Well, it's happened again in the Los Angeles area as TV station KDOC pulls a marijuana legalization show after just one episode. In better news, we have a story from Toronto about a comedy club that has instituted Weedy Wednesdays. And from the Schadenfreude files, we have a story of a high school principal who was trying to get teenagers to snitch on one another over marijuana dealing, facing a very unfortunate turn of events from his wife. Normally we'd have our celebrity entertainment report with celeb stoner Steve Bloom, but he's off for the day, so we're going to be visiting with David Clark, the executive director of Normal of Georgia, and his reaction to a state representative suggesting we should have canings and executions for people caught with marijuana. For our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, it's a wrap on Friday, and we feature Ambidext with the song Light That Blunt. And for our cannabis community segment, we visit with Linda Adler, the new executive director of the brand new United States Virgin Islands Normal. She's going to be tabling in Michigan at the Medical Marijuana Expo we mentioned earlier, and also wants to tell you of her plans to make the United States Virgin Islands the no passport required destination for medical marijuana patients' vacations. All that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. ABC News. Is pot addictive? Treat it with Marinol. Normal's Paul Armentano has already done a stellar job taking on the latest reefer madness on ABC News. This is another one of what seemed to be an increasing number of stories that bring up the idea of marijuana addiction by telling the personal stories of people whose lives became full of turmoil and regret when they just couldn't give up the doobies. Many years ago, the former head of the U.S. National Institute on Drug Abuse, Alan Leshner, made this statement when forced to confront the fact that tens of thousands of patients were successfully using cannabis as a medicine. Quote, "The plural of anecdote is not evidence," end quote. Someone ought to pass on Leshner's cop-out to ABC News, whose recent feature, Reefer Madness Redo is Pot Addictive, is little more than a series of anecdotes from folks claiming that it's becoming harder and harder for some individuals to quit weed. Yes, if 10,000 people say that using marijuana helped them medicinally, that's just anecdotes and no basis for medicine. But if a dozen people say that they were daily tokers, it ruined their lives, and they had a hard time quitting the bong, that's enough for the mainstream media to question, is pot addictive? Which, by the way, is one of those sneaky ways the media tries to push a narrative by just asking the question and not declaring the fact. Is President Obama a Kenyan-born illegal president? Or has former President Bush returned to his hard-drinking ways? Would be similar examples of the technique. It's the old some people say trick, where media presents an issue as if it has two sides when the facts are all on one side. Some people say pot is addictive, they'll intone, and bring on three anecdotes of wasted lives. And some people say it isn't, they'll continue, by presenting three doctors who tell the truth and present the evidence that it isn't addictive in the potential death from withdrawal sense. See? Three pot smokers who blame marijuana for their life's failures versus three well-educated doctors with studies and thousands of pot smokers whose lives turned out just fine. Fair and balanced. So, let me pick this apart just a little. In the ABC News piece, we meet Vicky, a 53-year-old who started smoking pot at age 13. Well, there's a clue. We know marijuana use before age 18 can have detrimental effects, and we here at Normal have been very forthright about explaining that. Since the 1970s, when marijuana was the symbol of political protest, the risks of marijuana dependency have been clouded by the legalization debate and long-held beliefs that the illicit drug is harmless. Well, you're not finding those beliefs here. I'll be the first to tell you, marijuana is not harmless. Neither is water. But it is far less harmful than other drugs we allow our teenagers to consume, like a Starbucks Frappuccino loaded with caffeine, for instance. Today, there are no FDA-approved drugs to counteract withdrawal symptoms, although the synthetic cancer drug Marinol shows some promise. Okay, so the treatment for the new
Pot 2.0, not your father's Woodstock weed.
The deadly addictive skunk weed that can be up to 25% THC. The cure for that is a synthetic THC pill that's 100% THC. Sheesh. Next, they'll tell us that lithium is a good treatment for marijuana addiction. Oh, wait, too late. They did that last year. The reclassification of marijuana is important, according to the American Psychological Association, because it's a mission as an addictive substance, then professionals might not see treatment regimens for dependence as necessary. Ah, so the association representing psychiatrists is telling us that if we don't classify marijuana as addictive, psychiatrists might not declare people marijuana addicts in need of expensive treatment from psychiatrists. Got it. As the most commonly used illicit drug in the United States, marijuana produces dependence and relapse rates comparable to other drugs, some researchers believe. About 9% of all those who used marijuana became dependent, compared to rates of 32% for tobacco, 23% for opiates, and 15% for alcohol, according to the 1994 National Comorbidity Survey. In what branch of math are values 255% greater, 155% greater, and 66% greater considered comparable? This is like saying my 1 minute 8 second time in the 200 meter dash is comparable to Usain Bolt's 19.3 second world record time. For daily smokers, that dependency rate soars to between 33 and 50%, say more recent studies. And what is the dependency rate for daily tobacco smokers? 100%? Or how about daily beer drinkers? Doesn't it seem a good thing to you that half to two-thirds of daily marijuana smokers can quit cold turkey without any negative withdrawal effects? With Stronger Pot, emergency rooms have reported more associated accidents. Just this week, 7 people were killed when the driver drove the wrong way on a New York highway and collided head-on with a pickup truck. Although the driver's family has disputed the results, toxicology tests showed high levels of alcohol and marijuana. Yes, high levels of alcohol, as in she had a 0.19 blood alcohol content. So naturally, this is the perfect example to show how stronger pot is causing accidents. All addictive drugs have a common signature, according to NIDA director Nora D. Volkow. Quote, they increase dopamine levels in the brain's pleasure center and produce repetitive behavior. Marijuana appears to do both, although at intermediate levels compared to other drugs. End quote. Absolutely untrue, according to a new study published this June in NeuroImage, which concluded, quote, in the largest study of its kind so far, we have shown that recreational cannabis users do not release significant amounts of dopamine from an oral THC dose equivalent to a standard cannabis cigarette. End quote. Roger A. Rothman, a professor of social work at University of Washington, argues that the reform movement makes a tragic mistake to convince the public that marijuana is relatively harmless. We've never claimed that marijuana is harmless. We've always claimed it is less harmful than alcohol. Quit putting your words in our mouths. More media refusal to air marijuana truth. KDOC-TV pulls paid Cannabis Planet series. On the heels of my examination of the big networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, willingness to profit from marijuana minstrel shows, and refusal to air the truth about cannabis and its users, we get this example today of the little guys, independent stations, that fear airing paid programming about marijuana legalization in a state where 56% of the people support it. Los Angeles Times. After 1 week on the air, a series about, quote, the merits of the cannabis plant, end quote, has departed KDOC-TV Channel 56 in Orange County after the producer said station executives told him they weren't comfortable with the content. Cannabis Planet producer Brad Lane said Wednesday that after agreeing to run the paid programming, KDOC executives declined to list it in their program lineup and wouldn't accept ads to promote the show for fear of alienating existing advertisers. The first 30-minute episode ran in late-night slots last Friday and Saturday. KDOC officials did not return calls and emails seeking comment. Lane said he had purchased time for Cannabis Planet, intended as a weekly series about the medical, agricultural, and industrial benefits of the marijuana plant, to run on KJLA-TV Channel 57 on Thursdays and Saturdays at 11:30 p.m. beginning August 13th. And who do you suppose those alienated advertisers would be? I don't get Los Angeles television, but I'm willing to bet KDOC runs many beer and pharmaceutical ads. I suggest that anyone in the LA area who is sick and tired of mainstream media suppressing the truth about cannabis to contact KDOC and let them know you will no longer watch their channel. Then, make a second call to KJLA and let them know you'll be watching Cannabis Planet and will support their advertisers. KDOC-TV can be contacted by dialing 949-442-9800 or emailing info@kdoc.tv. KJLA-TV can be reached at 310-943-5288 or by email at info1@kjla.com. By the way, supreme fan of irony that I am, I enjoyed seeing that on Monday, August 17th, KDOC will be showing The Who's rock opera Tommy, the story of the deaf, dumb, and blind pinball wizard who is taken to the Acid Queen, Tina Turner, for treatment. A movie chock full of drug references. Apparently, the executives aren't uncomfortable with that content, and advertisers aren't alienated by the lyrics.
My work is done, now look at him. He's never been more alive. His head, it shakes, his fingers clutch. Watch his body rise. I'm the gypsy, the acid queen. Before we start...
I suppose as long as Tommy sticks to pinball and dropping acid and doesn't talk about legalization of marijuana, he's okay by KDOC-TV standards. Canadian Comedy Club allows marijuana smoking on Weedy Wednesdays. This is Weedy Wednesdays, the bustling weekly stand-up night at the pot-friendly lounge Vapor Central, just one of the growing number of weed dens between College and Bloor Streets that make up the community affectionately known as Yongsterdam near Toronto. Much like the others, Vapor Central dodges marijuana laws by not actually providing patrons with the substance, and it also avoids smoking laws that only target tobacco, its management claims. Over the next 60 minutes, more than 150 people will pack into the tiny club for an hour of lewd and crude humor as they sit back and get stoned out of their minds. A testament to the seemingly perfect marriage of weed and comedy, and to the promotional buzz the show has created amongst comedians and stoners alike. For the first 6 months, says host Brian O'Gorman, they were lucky to draw 20 people a week. But as word of mouth spread, more and more comedians started asking to perform, and a growing audience was soon to follow. Quote, "Now we're at the point where we're turning away 20 to 40 people a week," end quote, he says from behind his dark brown aviator glasses. I tell you, I would go to a whole lot more comedy shows if the primary substance of choice was weed instead of the alcohol that makes some people act like jerks and hecklers. Anti-pot principal's wife caught giving marijuana to and having sex with a 16-year-old student. This just in from the always entertaining blog of Loretta Nall in Alabama. You can find it at nallforgovernor.blogspot.com. That's N-A-L-L for governor.blogspot.com. Remember Principal Ricky Nichols from Moulton High School? You know, the one who put a narc in his small high school and caught a teen boy selling dime bags to his friends? Nichols even participated in the raid at the boy's home. That boy was Webster Alexander, and through my efforts and the efforts of magazines like Cannabis Culture, High Times, and Rolling Stone, and local media coverage, his sentence was reduced from 26 years in an Alabama state prison to 1 year in the local county jail. After that, former sheriff deputy, part-time National Guardsman, and sometimes high school principal Ricky Nichols went off to serve 2 tours in Iraq. When he came back, he decided that high school kids smoking pot were terrorists and instituted Operation Bounty Hunter, where he would pay students $100 to snitch on each other. Somebody cue John Lennon. Montgomery Advertiser, Moulton, Alabama. A former East Lawrence High clerical aide who is married to the school's principal has turned herself in after allegations that she gave alcohol and marijuana to a 16-year-old student and had sex with him, authorities said. The student said in a statement to authorities that he and Nichols also had sex several times between March and June at the Nichols home. Ricky Nichols said he didn't know about any of the allegations until about a month ago when told by the boy and his mother. What's the emoticon for Schadenfreude? And what's with all the older women in high schools betting teenagers and giving them weed? And why was I not informed about this in 1984?
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
This has been a public service
Normal. We're speaking now with the executive director of Normal of Georgia. David Clark is on the phone with us. Welcome back, David.
Hey, Radical Russ. Good to hear from you again.
It's good to hear from you, too. And we're calling today because we got the most incredible Politicians on Pot email. For those of you who've listened to The Stash for a while, you know that I encourage everyone to write their federal and state elected officials and to ask them to support marijuana law reform, whether that's medical marijuana, decriminalization, legalization, industrial hemp, whatever. And they send the emails back to me. We post them on the web so everyone else can know what the officials actually think. We usually get them at the federal level, but from time to time we get them from the state level officials. And we received one from a representative, Tommy Benton, in Georgia, that I just had to call you about and get your reaction to. Tell our listeners a little bit about the email.
Named Dylan Thompson, who apparently I met a long time ago, and I had helped him for free with some legal advice, he tells me. I didn't know he was doing this, but he was trying to do the right thing and write to his representative, which is what everybody tells you to do, you know, rather than be violent or do anything rash. You're supposed to follow the right process, right? So he does, and he writes a pretty, he's a little excited in the letter. He's polite, you know, and he's respectful to the representative, and it's an email. And he writes to this guy, his local Georgia representative. It's like the equivalent of Congress in Georgia. It's the legislature in Georgia. But he says, we'll have to disagree on legalizing marijuana. In fact, I think we should do what Singapore does and subject pot users to caning and pot dealers to execution. And I mean, we thought maybe the guy was drunk when he wrote this. It was pretty shocking.
Yeah. Now, caning, you know, in case people don't know what this is, there was a story, I don't remember how many years ago it was, where an American citizen was caught in Singapore. It was with chewing gum or something, and they were going to cane the guy.
It was graffiti.
That's right.
Yeah. It was stupid.
And this caning, what it is they take a rattan cane, you know, a big long stick, and they whip it across your thighs. It's a serious, it's a form of torture.
Oh, no lie. I looked up some images on Google of this, and I was shocked. You see people's buttocks have these gashes in them that are like 3 inches deep from these canes. This is not like just a spanking with a cane. They wet it with water, and this guy takes a running start and whacks the crap out of someone's buttocks until they're bleeding. And I mean, I saw pictures on the internet that gross me out. I can't even put them in our newsletter. They're so bad.
Yeah, and executions for the drug dealers as well. I went and looked up Singapore's drug laws, and what they consider drug trafficking is if you're caught with more than 30 grams, they figure you're a dealer, and they will hang you.
Yeah. Footnote to that, it doesn't work either.
Yeah, exactly. They still have...
They've still got drug trafficking.
Actually, and we find...
You know, back in the colonial days, they had like 200 offenses in England that were punishable by death. And, you know, we've still got murder.
Exactly. And we've also found that in the places that have these severe penalties for cannabis, that we find people turning to the harder drugs, yeah, heroin and
That's
cocaine.
What I heard. Yeah.
You know, if you're gonna be caned or hanged, you might as well go for the hard stuff, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, the United Nations has issued so many statements against corporal punishment in general, never mind vicious torture. You know, we had enough of that last year with the Guantanamo thing, corporal punishment in the form of death penalty has been outlawed in almost every country except ours.
Yeah. Now, as
Singapore.
With regards to Representative Tommy Benton here, what's been the reaction, the official reaction from Georgia Normal? What are you guys going to do about this?
Well, we're still a young organization, but we have a newsletter that we circulate among ourselves, and we issued a press release right away. to the local papers in his district, letting them know where he stands on this, and also to some of the outlets in Atlanta here that are sympathetic and would probably publish stories about this. We'd like it to get out there to start a discussion among people, because the curious thing is he wrote back to someone else from Normal emailed him, and he wrote back that he actually was okay with medical marijuana with a doctor's permission.
I see.
Now, I don't know if that's after he saw our press release picking on him, but you know, this is typical in Georgia that people they say they're against it, and then they're like, oh well, no, if it was someone suffering and dying, you know. And you know what I want to do is send him a draft medical marijuana bill and let him be a sponsor and try to build on this if he believes in it so much, you know.
Exactly. I mean, I think these politicians realize that we've got super majority support for medical marijuana in the 60, 70, and 80% range, depending on where you poll. So it's
yeah.
You know, political suicide for them to seem to be cruel toward people who are suffering and dying. Where I have the problem is, oh, if you're not sick enough, it's okay to whip you? I don't see that as a...
You know, that's quite a contrast, you know. Here, it's okay, I have some too. Oh, we need to put gashes in your flesh.
Exactly.
I think he was trying to be smart. I think he was trying to be a wise ass. You know, I mean, we're all guilty of that once in a while, but, you know, heck, we need to raise the debate, we need to raise the publicity level of the debate here in Georgia, because it's a really bad situation, down here. Like you said, even in the South, over 70% of the people think that people should be able to use marijuana with a doctor's permission for health reasons. Well, 70% is a huge margin. And that's the AARP poll. You know about that one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the people, If they would just pay attention to what people wanted, you know, we've been doing this for years, but even in the South, people are overwhelmingly in favor of decriminalization and medical marijuana bills. So we just need the voice of the people to translate into legal action.
Yeah. Now, do you think this stance by Representative Benton is something that's, you know, common amongst the elected representatives in Georgia? I mean, maybe not to the level of caning and executions, but I mean, this general anti-legalization, anti-decriminalization stance?
Well, they all say that. Okay, personally, I don't think they believe it. This is the hypocrisy that we run into a lot. Representative Benton used to be a teacher. He works in a hardware store. You know, he's just conservative. But in Georgia, pretty much everybody has to be a conservative to get elected, unless you're in the middle of Atlanta, the middle of Savannah or Columbus or Macon. And you know, everywhere else you have to at least put up a front like you're this really rabid conservative. So he may just be playing politics, and a lot of them are playing politics. But I think what we're working on in Georgia is the money angle. Georgia is broke like most states. And if we can impress on them the fiscal need to decriminalize marijuana and effectively tax it instead of putting people in jail and paying for their lawyers, I think we might have an in there where we can appeal to their pocketbooks, and they'll put aside their Victorian morals for a minute.
We can hope so. Now, earlier you mentioned your newsletter, and I've been receiving this, the Georgia Normal Bud Bulletin, and I've got to say, it's the best-looking newsletter in the Normal, the whole Normal chapter network. It's a great-looking newsletter, short, sweet, to the point, and very graphically pleasing. How can people get a copy of that?
Well, thank you, Russ. Anybody who would like to can send me an email to georgianormal@yahoo.com. That's GANORML@yahoo.com. I'll be happy to share it. I have a list that just goes out every week, you know, a mass email, and I'm happy to put anybody on there who wants to hear about Georgia activities and what we're trying to do to get decriminalization going down here and a medical marijuana bill that means something.
Now, you're an attorney, and you're working a lot and checking the legal aspects of marijuana all the time, and you're telling me before we went on the air here about a recent decision regarding consent searches in Georgia. Maybe you could tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, one of the things over the years as a lawyer, most of us lawyers get real frustrated, as you know, particularly, Russ, about people's willingness to consent to searches.
Mm.
I have a website called don'tconsenttothesearch.com, and I'd love everybody to go there and learn about your rights. And, Russ, I know you've said it over and over again on your show, and you're absolutely right, that if you're polite to the officer and decline a search, you might get arrested anyway, but at least it gives your lawyer a lot to work with. And last week we had a good decision in Georgia that said that someone who simply acquiesces to an officer's authority is not consenting to a search. The decision said that consent has to be an affirmative act, It has to be a willful affirmative grant of consent. And remember, it can always be withdrawn. You can change your mind and say, stop searching. People don't know these things, and I've devoted that website to educating people about it. And luckily in Georgia, our Supreme Court reiterated again, because they had to, because it's the Fourth Amendment, that, you know, you have the right to control the amount of searching that goes on. And if the officer is asking you for consent to search, that means he doesn't have probable cause, and he needs your consent, and only you can give it to him. And, you know, you've said it a million times, Russ. I listen to the podcast all the time, and you're always telling people, be polite, but decline the search until you can talk to a lawyer. And if they threaten a drug dog, say, fine, I'll wait, look at your watch. And in Georgia, they have 30 minutes. And if they don't get a dog out there in 30 minutes, you're going to win your case. I mean, all these tips are things that y'all need to know, everybody needs to know, especially in Georgia where there's no mercy on anybody who has pot.
Sure. And when you're talking about there having to be, you know, you have to affirmatively give the permission, and it's not just when you're reacting to the officer's color of authority. That's kind of a situation like, you know, if you say to the officer, hey, I'm not going to resist you, that's not saying you can search me. Is that what that means?
Yeah, that's one example. You know, in a lot of states, you have to sign a piece of paper on the side of the road that says, I know my rights and I'm consenting to a search. If they did that in Georgia, we'd have a lot better cases to work with because, you know, God bless marijuana users. We're so nice and cooperative and peaceful. We don't want to cause trouble. And we think that if we're nice to police officers, they'll be nice to us.
Hmm.
And it's just not true. Too many of these guys consider us enemy combatants. We're just the enemy. And it's not fair. It's not right. But this is their deal. It's how they make their bread. It's how they make their quotas. And unfortunately, we have to take a defensive posture and not cooperate with them at times in order to protect our own rights.
That's right. The police are not your friend. They're not there to help you out in any way. Their job is to help arrest and convict you for crimes, and marijuana is a crime. The minute you let them see your marijuana or let them search for your marijuana, they win. So remember, know your rights and check out don'tconsenttoasearch.com and learn more about it. Also, log on to georgianormal.org. That's GANORML.org if you want to get involved in the Georgia area. And David Clark is the executive director of Georgia Normal and joins us from time to time here on the Stash to tell us what's happening in the Great American South. Thanks for joining us on the podcast, David.
No problem, Russ. Have a great weekend.
All right.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech?
Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit potculturebook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. It's a wrap on Friday, and we're listening to the great track Light That Blunt by Ambidext, featuring Potluck.
ambidext from New England, has shared the stage and recorded albums with many well-known rap artists, including Scarface, Potluck, and Yuckmouth. Ambidext's latest album, soon to be released, features MCs from the East to the West Coast. For the latest about Ambidext, check out myspace.com/ambidext, that's A-M-B-E-D-E-X-T. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Ambidext with Light That Blunt.
Better roll that beat up,
grab your lighter,
man, light that blunt. Gotta smoke that reefer,
get you higher,
man, light that blunt. Better roll that beat up,
got that fire,
man, light that blunt.
Ambidex and potluck, roll it by him up. Like that blunt.
When it comes to the herb, I'm a puff professional. Roll it up, light it up, pass it around. In a game of ounces, it's a game of pounds. Get blunt and press the cord, now it's your ass ass. So where the draw at, and it's up, it's throwback. All about the green, just in case you didn't know that. Can't hold back, gotta hit it. You break up the weed, I'll take the blunt and split it. And then we'll smoke it right down to the roach. Only smoke the first class, got no time for coach. So approach the blunt with caution. Better hold the shit in, don't wanna hear no coughing. It's often that we smoke, we get blazed for days. It's just the way I was raised, and I'll probably never, ever, ever stop smoking the crop, the weed gang, see we got it on lock. From the left to the right, front to back, up and down, both sides of the map. Liable to catch contact when you're walking by. Don't be fucking with my high since 15. Join this lift scene, cause it seemed that it was always in my jeans. Cause it was, you getting high with the buzz. You tell me what it do, but this is what it does.
Better roll that beat up,
grab your lighter,
and light that blunt. Gotta smoke that reefer,
get you higher,
and light that blunt. Better roll that beat up,
got that fire,
and light that blunt.
Exit potluck, roll the bomb up and light that blunt.
Now my name is underrated, off of smoking the green. Humble County is the place where we blaze the weed. Waking Vegas the way that us players play. I've been doing this since way, way back in the day. You can't test me, dude, I got the recipe. Humble County veteran, can't question me. Put the sass in your chest and you must confess. We got the best marijuana representing the West. Potluck in the trunk, make the speakers hit. Rolling up a fat blunt, then smoke that bitch. Don't hold the split, better pass a man. A whole click, smoke fat like Amsterdam.
Get high,
smoke another joint, smoke it all night.
Get high,
roll tight till I'm high. High as a kite.
High.
It's a potluck way of life. Still flowing underrated like OB Trice. Every strain of the marijuana. I got me smoking on the bomb with your baby's mama. Don't get mad and that crazy like Jeffrey Dahmer. I don't even wanna cause I know the bitch is drama. Calm down, just hit the blunt with me. Smoke one, smoke two, better yet smoke three. It's the way that it's gotta be smoking on so many blunts that you think I won the lottery.
Better roll that beat up,
grab your lighter,
and light that blunt. Gotta smoke that reefer,
get you higher,
and light that blunt. Better roll that beat up,
got that fire,
and light that blunt.
Ambidex and potluck, roll the bomb up and light that blunt.
Pussy stop, call. Pussy stop, call.
So what you smoking on?
Pussy stop, call. Pussy stop, call.
So what you smoking on?
Pussy stop, call. Pussy stop, call.
So what you smoking on?
Pussy stop, call. Pussy stop, call.
So what you smoking on? No stems, no seeds. I got some shit so potent to make your eyes bleed. So what you want, what you need? Ambidex and potluck, roll the bomb ass weed. No stems, no seeds. I got some shit so potent to make your eyes bleed. So what you want, what you need? Ambidex and potluck, roll the bomb ass weed.
Hi, this is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. We are the oldest, largest, and best-known marijuana law reform organization in America. And it's all because of your support. Take some time to join Normal at www.normalnorml.org. Your membership supports this podcast, our websites, our policy research and analysis, and our annual conferences. Changing marijuana laws is a grassroots effort, and it starts with you, the stakeholder. Join Normal today and add your voice to the millions of cannabis consumers who demand equality with our beer-drinking friends.
The most devastating effect of the war on marijuana is that it is a war on everyday people like you and me. All week we speak to the doctors, scientists, celebrities, and politicians who make up the professionals fighting for cannabis liberty, but we never forget about the tens of millions who use cannabis, the millions who need medical access to cannabis, the hundreds of thousands arrested every year for cannabis, and tens of thousands imprisoned under our marijuana laws. At Normal, we are the Cannabis Consumers Lobby, and we take this opportunity to share the experiences of our cannabis community.
We're joined now by the new founding executive director of the United States Virgin Islands Normal Chapter, Linda Adler. Linda, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Russ.
Oh, the United States Virgin Islands. Of course, we're talking down by Puerto Rico, the Caribbean, right?
Right. St. Thomas, St. John, St. Croix.
Okay. Has there ever been a presence of Normal or any sort of cannabis activism down there in the islands?
There has not been any presence of Normal. There was a few years ago, one of the senators is a Rasta, Farian, and he had tried to put through a decriminalization bill that did not go.
Oh, okay. And of course, the United States Virgin Islands is a United States territory. So how does that affect your representation in Congress and your ability to make your own laws?
We are governed by the Organic Act of 1953 or 7. I'm not sure exactly what year that was. I'm sorry. We can make our own laws to a certain degree. We are under the Constitution of the United States. We have a non-voting delegate to Congress in the House of Representatives. Her name is Donna Christensen. She can vote in committee, but she cannot vote on the open floor.
I see. Okay. And as far as the cannabis community goes, how much support do you think there is in the United States Virgin Islands for this sort of movement?
So far, we've seen a mixed bag. There's quite a bit of support. A lot of people are a little reluctant to come forward and say, yeah, let's go do it, you know, out in public. They'll say it to us. There's a huge Rastafarian community down there, and one of the portions of the initiative that we're going to be writing will pertain to the religious use of cannabis as well.
So you mentioned this initiative. What is the procedure for initiatives in the Virgin Islands? Is it like some of the states in the United States where you just get enough signatures, it goes on the ballot, and the people vote for it?
Pretty similar. You get a petition. You get enough percentage of registered voters to sign that. You submit it to the legislature. They can choose to enact it immediately, or it will go on. And if they vote it down and you've met all the requirements, it can go on the next ballot.
Okay. And so you're looking to put forth initiatives, you said, on religious use and also medical use. Is that right?
Our goal is to enact a medical marijuana bill that will include the ability for those that use cannabis as part of their religious sacrament to be free from any legal complications.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to include a decrim portion of the bill that will allow somewhere up to 2 ounces with about between $150 to $250 fine.
Okay. Now, of course, we have 13 medical marijuana states right now in the United States, and,
yes,
and we're looking to, of course, get more. Would you build reciprocity into your medical marijuana law so that the people from the other states could come to the Virgin Islands and be able to use their medicine?
Absolutely. That's one of the wonderfully unique things about doing this down in the USVI is there are 13 states that already have legalized medical. There's 11 more that have legislation currently pending. In those 13 states, and not all of them require registration of the medical users, but there's 300,000 registered users right now in just those 13 states.
Mm-hmm.
They have to vacation somewhere. The U.S. Virgin Islands is still no passport required and will remain that way.
Right.
We plan to include reciprocal use for people who have state-issued cards here in the United States, and also those international travelers where it is decriminalized or legal for medical in their state. We're looking to include having, for example, in Haven site where the cruise ships dock on St. Thomas, they get about 10,000 visitors a day. We're looking to have a clinic right in a short walking distance from the cruise ship dock so that those people that are so minded and eligible can go in, get a temporary user's card, and be able to legally partake here on the island.
Hmm. You know, I think about that as being a huge benefit to the USVI and, of course, to all the patients who might want a vacation there, you know, not having to get a passport or anything like that. I imagine tourism must be the biggest, economic engine in the islands, right?
Absolutely. Tourism makes up about 70% of our gross domestic product, and about 80% of our employment is tourism-based.
Oh, wow. Wow. So that would definitely be a win-win situation for the islands if we could get the political will to get that passed, either through the legislature or through the popular initiative. You were telling me an email earlier, too, about some of your plans for the future that are really exciting as far as the tourism angle goes.
Absolutely. At this point, Russ, everything is on the board. We are entertaining discussion of if this all passes, the possibility of doing the first normal St. Thomas hotel that will be a member-only resort location. It will have, our plans right now include things like a family area that is non-cannabis allowed, and then adult-only areas that does allow cannabis use. People would have to be a member of Normal to join or to stay at the hotel, and in turn they could go ahead and register as a member at the front desk.
Oh wow, that's so exciting! I'd love to see that happen. Now this week, this weekend, in fact, you're not in the Virgin Islands though. You're also working in Michigan. Tell our listeners a little bit about what's going on there.
It is so exciting. We have the first Michigan Medical Marijuana Expo. It's called the MMME Expo or MMM Expo 2009. It's going to be held in Detroit this weekend. We're expecting between 5,000 and 10,000 people. They've got speakers throughout the day that are free. They have classes that you can sign up for, workshops to teach you various horticultural projects and lessons that you might need to learn. Preparation of cannabis oil, alternative methods of ingestion, spirituality and cannabis use. There's going to be a vendor area. They've erected the very first medical marijuana billboards in Michigan. They went up last week, and it's very exciting right downtown Detroit at Fisher Highway and I-75. It's going to be awesome.
That is great to hear. Now, where is this Michigan Medical Marijuana Expo this weekend?
It is in Detroit, and they can get directions on their website for that. Their website is www.mmmexpo2009.com.
MMMExpo2009.com. Okay, everybody, check that out if you're going to be in the Detroit area and you'd like to check out that expo. And you're tabling there, I understand.
I am. We're going to actually work with the Michigan Normal Group, and we'll help them promote becoming a member of Normal here in Michigan and get some fundraising going for them. But we're also going to be handing out brochures and business cards for the USVI Normal organization. It's a really great partnership that we've got going on. And I do encourage everybody to visit our website, and that is www.usvinormal.org. On there you can, we have our member registration form on our website. You can go ahead, whether you're living in the VI or whether you're not, you can join our organization. And we are, just like everybody else, in need of your donations.
All right. Well, that's great. Now, Linda, on a personal note here, what is it that made you want to get involved and form a Normal chapter in the Virgin Islands? Was there a particular moment or issue that really struck you and made you say that you had to do this?
You know, I've lived in the islands for a few years, and I love it down there. I had to leave the islands about a year and a half ago for some medical reasons. I have fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome, and did not find any good treatment using pharmaceuticals. When I lived in Montana, last year when I lived in Montana, I became a Montana medical patient and found that using cannabis really alleviated a lot of my symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to be able to go back down there to the islands, knowing that I was a patient and would not be able to legally use, that was what drove me to do this. I did some searching, and I came up on the internet with a gentleman who had started a Google group for Normal and the VI. Although he hadn't taken any steps to go beyond just the Google group, he and I hooked up, and this has all taken place in the last 3 months.
Mm. Yeah, and I was excited to get the emails from the Virgin Islands, I'll tell you. As the normal outreach coordinator, it's sometimes my job to visit these chapters and inspect to see how well they're doing. So for some reason, I think USVI Normal might be pretty high up on my list.
Well, we would love to have you. We're tentatively planning a fundraiser. We're in the very beginning stages of it. We're going to have a local fundraiser on the islands, of course, but this is going to be a major fundraiser because a lot of what we're going to be doing is going to be educational programs. Before we even put our pen to paper to write the initiative, we're going to go out and we're going to learn from the mistakes that all of the other 13 states have made, and we're going to include the medical community and the politicians at the very beginning, and we're going to teach them about medical marijuana and try and allay any of their concerns and misconceptions. We've got a program set up that we're going to work with the schools and see if they'll let us come in and teach children about medical marijuana so the parents aren't, you know, having to fight the school system when their kids talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Boy, it'd be such a benefit just from the idea of medical marijuana patients having a place to visit, you know, a place to vacation where they can be comfortable, where they can, you know, use their medicine and just be like anybody else who goes to another place to visit. I mean, Hawaii is a medical marijuana state, for example, but if you're not from Hawaii, if you don't live in Hawaii, your card doesn't help you. They don't have the reciprocity. So,
right. Absolutely. And so right now, the only vacation destinations that people in these 13 states have that's going to be reciprocated is Michigan, Rhode Island, and Montana.
Yeah, and the United States Virgin Islands.
You're not going to get it.
Yeah. Well, Linda Adler from USVI Normal, check out usvinormal.org for more information. I'm going to keep in touch with you, and we'll let our listeners know as the situation develops there in the VI. And thanks so much for joining us here on the Stash.
Absolutely, Russ. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with the best wishes for a great weekend and a reminder that next weekend is the big one, Seattle Hemp Fest at Myrtle Edwards Park in Seattle, Washington. It's bigger and better than ever this year, with an extra length of park that's been added to make the whole thing 1.3 miles of nothing but cannabis-friendly vendors and people and bands and stages. There'll be 6 stages this year, which also includes a comedy stage, a first time at the Hemp Fest. All next week, we'll be talking to people about Hemp Fest, including the executive director, Vivian McPeak, and Normal's executive director, Alan St. Pierre, detailing how Normal will be taking part in Hemp Fest, so make sure you download the podcast next week. I'll also be recording live segments that we'll be putting on the next week's podcast and featuring on Normal Show Live. Thanks for downloading the podcast and doing your part to end adult marijuana prohibition. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.